This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now your host, Mike James.
Hi, welcome to another edition of the Armor of God. We're glad you could join us on today's program. The subject of today's program is church growth. And I want to tell you a little story that led me to think about this particular topic. I was giving a sermon in a city out in Canada, Western Canada. And I was looking around at the congregation, and I noticed that everyone in the congregation was older than me. And there weren't too many people in this particular congregation. And it made me start thinking that if we don't get some new folks in here, will this congregation continue 10, 15 years from now? So that led me to think about today's program and what I want to discuss today. Something else that led to some of the content of today's program was a book I read titled Natural Church Development. And you can do a Google search on natural church development and find out more about this particular subject. But the fellows who wrote this book did a lot of research from a number of churches to come up with ideas on what makes a church grow, what leads to church growth within Christian churches. Now, let me just tell you a little bit about the research. They conducted the research from 1996 to the present date. They've looked at over 70 different countries and over 45,000 different churches. So they sent questionnaires to these churches, they interviewed people from these churches, and they were looking at what elements help these churches grow and maintain growth. Now, some of these were large churches, some of these were small churches, and that will factor into how quickly a church can grow and whether it can sustain that growth. But some of the information I'm going to get today that's going to be delivered to you comes from the research that was conducted by this group of individuals who was looking at the subject of natural church development. But lastly, I want to ask why. Why should the church grow? Why? Why should we have churches grow in this world? Well, there are a number of scriptures we could go to for that, but let me just look at one over in the Gospel of John. Notice what it says in John 3 and verse 16. Very familiar scripture there, John 3:16. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So God wants everybody to come to an understanding of his truth. No matter who you are, no matter where you are, God wants this message of deliverance given to everyone. And that's hopefully what Christian churches are doing. They're bringing the message of Jesus Christ, him crucified, his way of life, which can lead to ultimate change and everlasting life for you. One final scripture is over in Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. I'm not going to go there, but it says, "Make disciples of all nations, teaching them the things that I have taught you." So we need to do that if we're going to be disciples of Jesus Christ. We need to try to grow that church, and we're going to look at 8 characteristics today that will address that. Before we do any of that, though, what I'd like to do is I'd like to offer you some free literature and also a free CD. Now, the CD that I'd like to offer you on today's program is titled Church Growth. This is a sermon that I delivered, and I address the points I will be addressing today, and I also go into more detail on each of these points and provide some examples of growth from the Bible and from God's creation to help us understand elements of growth. We also want to offer you a free booklet on today's program, and the booklet is titled Welcome to the Church of God International. Whether you learned about us from this telecast or were introduced by a family member or friend, We're glad for your interest in our church, our fellowship, and our teachings. We want to welcome you, and we want to do everything we can to make you feel at home. This booklet has been written to give you an idea of what the Church of God International is all about. We have not tried to explain everything in detail in this booklet. You can get that through our other CDs and booklets. But please get Welcome to the Church of God International to understand more about this church that sponsors this program. To get both of these items free of charge, all you need to do is call toll-free 1-888-578-8791. That's 1-888-578-8791. Or visit our website, www.cgi.org. That's www.cgi.org. You can also go to the website to see a weekly sermon broadcast live on the internet. Go to www.cgi.org. Welcome back, those of you that were with us at the top of the program. And those of you just joining us, we're talking today about the topic of church growth. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to provide you 8 characteristics of church growth that come from some research that was conducted by some individuals who wrote a book about this research. The book is titled Natural Church Development. And these individuals went to over 70 countries. They interviewed people from 45,000 different Christian churches throughout the world. The research was conducted from 1996 to the present day, and they came up with 8 overarching characteristics that helped some of these churches that did grow to grow. I want to relay that information to you, and hopefully you can use it with your church to try to maintain church growth. Now, to get things started, point number one, these fellows felt an important characteristic was to have empowering leadership. Now, when I say empowering leadership, some people think that you're empowering the leaders that are already there. That's not what we mean. What we mean by empowering leadership is that the present leaders are empowering others within the church community to become future leaders. And this can be done in a variety of ways. You can mentor people within the church. You can delegate responsibilities to people within your church. You can create a program, a leadership program within your church, a speaking program within your church. But you want to try to spread around the work of the church to other individuals within the church. If your leadership of today is doing everything, what's going to happen tomorrow when these leaders get a little older, when these leaders aren't capable of doing what they did in the past? You've got to spread this out to others within your church community. And the way you can do this is when you get to know the other people within your church. That brings us to point number 2. Understanding the gifts of your church members. Understanding the gifts of your church members. Now, everyone within a church has a gift. Let me show you that. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 7, I'd like you to take a look at this scripture. 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 7 says this: "For I would that all men were even as I myself, but every man hath his proper gift of God, one after this manner and another after that." So we all have gifts from God. These gifts can be used within the church. Now, when some people think of gifts within the church, they think of prophecy, they think of teaching, they think of speaking. But we need to understand there are more gifts than that. There's the gift of empathy. There's the gift of hospitality. There's the gift of understanding. In my church, there's a woman who's very detail-oriented. And I love it when she reminds me of details that I forget. That's a gift that she gives to me to help remind me, who's a big-picture person, that I need to remember this detail or that detail. This woman also sends cards to people in our church who are sick, who can't make it to church, or in the hospital. She's the one that handles that job because she remembers those types of things. We need to find out the various gifts of the members of our churches and bring those gifts to the forefront. Use those gifts to the best of our ability, because we've got to use everything that we can within the church in order to get other people to grow and prosper within that church community also. Point number three that these individuals came up in their research at looking what can help a church grow: passionate spirituality. If you have passionate spirituality, that can enhance the possibility of your church growing. Just get this picture in your mind for a moment. A new person is coming to visit your church. They come into the church, nobody talks to this person. The message is not very inspiring. It may be delivered in a monotone type of delivery. And after church, there's no fellowship. Do you think this person is going to want to come back and visit that church again? These things can have a dramatic effect on whether or not people will be inspired when they come to visit your church. If you've got passion for what you believe, it will become available to others. Others can be influenced by that and like it and want to come back and get more of that. The next characteristics that I'd like to describe here is effective structures. You've got to have organization within your church. The fellows who did this research found that organized churches did much better at growth than disorganized churches. And that just makes sense when you think about life in general. Where there is more organization, there can be more growth, more understanding, which can take place. Let's go back to a church example for you. Let's say that you have Pastor Jones, who's in charge of the men's program, and Pastor Jones is in charge of the women's program, and Pastor Jones does the weekly Bible study, and Pastor Jones is the one who's in charge of the youth program. What's going to happen to Pastor Jones? Pastor Jones is going to wear himself out. Why doesn't he give some of the reins of authority to some others who have the ability to lead the woman's program, to lead the men's program? Have someone else who has some knowledge give the Bible study from time to time. This is going to get others to work and develop their leadership qualities, and it's also going to give Pastor Jones some time to focus on the things that are more important within that church, and he can devote 100% of his time to them rather than just 10 or 15 or 20% of his time. So organization will help your church grow. Another example that they came up with was having an inspiring worship service. Now, this is a little different than just having passion. Having an inspiring worship service. And this could fall under a number of categories. For example, there are different feelings about music in churches today. Some folks like certain types of music. Other folks like more modern music. We need to understand what the majority of folks are into music-wise within our church. And from time to time, maybe we can try a different song to see if it goes over well with our congregation. You've got to remember there are a variety of people within your congregation. If you've got a lot of young people, they may have different tastes than the older folks, and you need to try to compromise on things like that. When we think about the worship service and the sermon or the sermonette that is provided, is it the same type of message each week? Are they just changing some things around and giving you the same message? I've heard that as a criticism in my particular location from time to time. Let's switch things up from time to time. If we have other speakers, let's try to bring them in. Let's put a little variety into the sermon message. Maybe we can do a little more give and take if we have a smaller congregation when we're providing that message. And also maybe a Bible study from time to time. Maybe that would enhance how people are reacting to the worship service. So all of these things can go a long way in providing for greater growth within the church when we also investigate our services and how they're conducted. Probably the most important example that these researchers came up with as far as what can lead to church growth was what they titled holistic small groups. Holistic small groups within the larger church community. Now, what do they mean by this? What they mean is that five or six individuals within the church are meeting together regularly outside of church, maybe once a month, maybe once a week, maybe twice a month. But on a regular basis, this small group of a half dozen people gets together, and what they do is they just talk about life. They talk about what's happening on their job, what's happening in their family, what's happening maybe at church. They get together on a consistent basis and relationships are developed. Relationships are formed. Bonds are developed. And when these bonds are developed, it's much harder for these people to break away from each other. When there is a problem at church, hopefully these people are going to hang together rather than break apart because they've got relationships, strong relationships with each other, and they're going to hang in there and try to work it out rather than leave the situation. Now, holistic small groups have another element to them. When we look at the next characteristic that I'm going to describe here, which is evangelism, this also relates to holistic small groups. When these individuals get together in their homes and are meeting, they may invite a family member who doesn't come to church. They may invite a neighbor who lives next door to come over and enjoy the holistic small group conversation. They may have dinner at the same time. And by getting these other individuals to come in and meet with them, they are, in essence, evangelizing without even knowing it. These individuals who come and visit with them may be interested, if they like the group and they like the individuals they're meeting, to maybe come to church someday. And maybe, just maybe, one of these new people who is visiting is a great singer. And they could be told that, hey, why don't you come to church and do some special music, sing a song for us at church one day. So you see how there can be an interdependence among these eight characteristics that these individuals are saying can help a church grow. So let's go ahead and look at evangelism, which is another one of those characteristics. When these individuals talked about evangelism, they of course mentioned that TV, media, radio, the print media, booklets, magazines, all of those were essential in trying to evangelize and trying to grow your church. But they said another important element of evangelism was personal evangelism. Ladies and gentlemen, you have relationships with family members, with neighbors, with co-workers that I do not have. Me on TV is not going to make a connection that you sitting back at home can with a family member, with a neighbor. We've got to build those relationships, connect with those people, and do so on an individual basis. Invite new people to church from time to time who you have a relationship with. That evangelism can go a long way in helping your church to grow. Another element that is one of the eight characteristics for growth that was discovered by these individuals when they did this research was the characteristic of loving relationships. Loving relationships. Now, what did they mean by loving relationships? Here's what they meant. I want you to think about somebody else at church that you have something in common with. Maybe you are both sports enthusiasts, and maybe you have a ticket to the game on Wednesday night, and you want to invite somebody else from church. Do it! Invite that person from church who is a sports enthusiast. Connect with other people in church besides the five or six individuals in your holistic small group. You've got to connect to those others in church at church picnics. Have dinner over somebody's house who's a church member and is not a member of your small group. You've got to branch out to the bigger community at large and not just that small cell group within your holistic small group. Now, when you think about loving relationships, what is love? What is love? Well, in 1 Corinthians 13, we get a definition of love here, and you've got to keep this in the forefront of your mind when you're dealing with other individuals at church. You know, sometimes we treat our friends at church like family. That could be positive. It could also be negative. We've got to keep love in the forefront of our mind, ladies and gentlemen. And notice what it says in 1 Corinthians 13 about love. I'm reading from the King James here. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. Charity suffereth long. And just put love in the place of charity here. It is synonymous with charity. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Charity never fails. We've got to keep that in mind, folks, when we're relating to others within the church community and even outside of the church community. But if you want your church to grow and you aren't showing love to other church members, that's a good remedy for bringing about negative church growth. We want those churches to grow. We've got to show outflowing love to other members of our churches. Now, when you look at all of these characteristics, they all have a connection or interdependence among them. And interdependence is very big with God. In fact, if we stay here in the book of Corinthians, I'd like you to turn with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I want to read a little segment here about interdependence and how it relates to the church body. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 12. Let's see what it says. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we are Jews or Gentiles, whether we're bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the one body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. What's God saying here about interdependence? We all are relying on each other. We all can learn from each other, grow from each other within that body of believers. Even those who you have issues with, you can learn things from. Conflict leads to growth, folks. If you never had conflict, you wouldn't grow. You wouldn't grow. It's part of the process, and we need to understand that about the folks that we run into at church. Now, the final thing these fellows did in their research is they created a process to follow to try to implement some of these characteristics into your church community, to shake things up maybe from time to time, try new things. And they had a process that they provided in their book in which to follow. And I want to quickly address that process to possibly give you some ideas of how you might be able to work some of these characteristics into your church environment. Now, the first element of this cycle was to just sit back and perceive what's happening in your church. So just for the first 3 or 4 months of the year, sit back and observe what's happening in church. Don't make any judgments about it. Don't talk to other people about it. Just observe what you see happening at church. The second element would be what we would call a test phase. And what you do in the test phase is you're now evaluating what you were perceiving. So you're looking at, well, you know what? Pastor Jones seems to be giving the same sermon week in and week out. Now, why is Pastor Jones giving the same sermon week in and week out? That would lead you into the understanding phase. Probably it's because Pastor Jones has a full-time job, Pastor Jones has three children, and Pastor Jones just doesn't have the time to put into delivering a sermon every week. So as you're looking at this, trying to understand this, you might say to yourself, well, hey, we've got a guy here who's got a PhD in history. Maybe he can do some research for Pastor Jones and pass that information to the pastor and give him ideas about sermons. That might make it easier for Pastor Jones to give better sermons. This would be your planning phase. So you go through this planning phase, you try to find other people in the church who may be able to speak, and you might create a program for others to speak within your church. So you'd plan these things out, and then finally you'd get to the doing phase. And we can read in James chapter 1 and verse 22. I'm not going to turn there, but you can't just be hearers of the word. You have to be doers of the word. So when we get to this church environment and this church example, let's try to carry out these changes and see what happens. And you can get more information on this, folks, by looking at that CD that we'd offered you on today's program. The title of that CD is Church Growth, and I provide more detail about how these eight characteristics work in helping churches grow. We also want you to get that free booklet that we were talking about Welcome to the Church of God International, that tells you about the church that sponsors this program, who we are, why we are, and what we're all about. Please get that free literature and that CD. It will help you on this interesting subject of church growth. Finally, what we do is we go into the experience phase. Once you make those changes, look at it and decide if you want to keep those changes that you've implemented. So the cycle begins all over again at perception, and you start to sit back and look at that phase. So what was that cycle once again? Let me repeat it. Perceiving, testing, understanding, planning, doing, and then experiencing and following it all over once again. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you for joining me today on The Armor of God. Please get that literature and CD, and we'll see you on another edition of The Armor of God.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by The Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at Post Office Box 2525, Tyler, Texas 75710. Call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791 or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at cgi.org or email us at armorofgod@cgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.